Parental empowerment in education. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show.
Well, hey there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show, and thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. I am, as always, your humble host, joining you live from our BNC studios here in lovely Eastern Indiana. Folks, we have a recession. It's right around the corner. Do not let outdated business or sales messaging strategies put you at risk. Learn more at Brian at Brian Nichols Consulting, there we go, .com. So let's talk about today's topic, and that is, yes, talking about giving parents more control as it pertains to what their kids are learning in the public education system. Joining us from the Libertas Institute today, John England. Welcome to the Brian Nichols Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely, John. Thank you for joining us. Now, folks who are longtime listeners of the show, they say, Libertas Institute, that sounds familiar. Yes, it is familiar because we just had Connor Boyack here on the show back, I think last week or the week prior, and we were talking about how all the nasties in the government are using geofencing to figure out where people are at all times. So, folks, if you missed that episode, we'll include that in the show notes here. But today, we're talking about education. This is something that it's hitting home, not just to me, because I'm going to be an expecting dad here soon, but a lot of folks right now across the board. What happened over the past 3 years, John? This thing where all of a sudden all these kids were sent home during what? A pandemic of some sorts? Yeah, I guess. But anyways, we were sent home and all these kids all of a sudden brought their coursework home, and parents actually got to see behind closed doors what their kids were actually learning or not learning. So it's opened up a lot of conversations. Obviously, today's topic of conversation, parents trying to get some control back in education. But first, do us a favor. Introduce yourself here to the Brian Nichols Show audience and your role over at the Libertas Institute.
Yeah, happy to. And congratulations, by the way, on having a child. That is a very exciting adventure that you're about to begin. Yeah, so so I do the education policy work here at Libertas. And one of the things that I focus on is educational empowerment. Here in Utah, we just passed the Utah Fits All Scholarship. That's what I've been working on for the last year. And what I really try and do, and in my background a little bit, actually, I spent 14 years as a teacher and a public school principal in the public school system. And about 2 years ago is when I left and decided that this was no longer for me. And now I'm here working on educational empowerment and trying to empower parents the best way that I can. And that's what I am. That's what I do. And it's something that I tried to do in the public system and found that that wasn't the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think we're hearing a lot of this recurring theme here. Parents said, yeah, I think I can change this. I don't mean to make a gross analogy, but it's like the girl who has that abusive husband. She's like, I can change him. I can make him a better person. I'm hearing a lot of parents, they kind of feel like the abused spouse in this relationship, only it's a relationship with their kids' government schools. So talk to us about what parents can do, right? And I know that that's a very loaded question, John, but thankfully we have 20 minutes here to dig into the answer there. So kind of set the framework. What's the focus that you guys have been taking over the Libertas Institute to bring some educational responsibility back to parents?
Yeah, so we just passed this last legislative session, the Utah Fits All Scholarship, which is an education spending account. So what this does is it takes the state portion of funding and gives it to the parents to choose how their child will be educated. So most people think about, oh, I can pay for private school tuition with this. And yes, you can, but you can do so much more with an education spending account. You can use it to pay for tutors. You can pay for micro schools, which I know you've had Kerry McDonald on your show talking about them. You can use it to pay for curriculum at home and you can be the teacher there, but it's a way for parents to really take charge and be the consumer in the process rather than just a passive receiver of the education. And that is the thing that I find most exciting with the education spending accounts that are popping up all over the nation.
So tell me if I'm wrong here, but just kind of looking at the way parents were, air quotes, involved in choosing their child's education. And I think back to when I was a wee little lad, I remember my mom bringing me to the kindergarten orientation. You got to meet Miss Mashaw. It was great. You know, one of the three kindergarten teachers for elementary school. And of my 60 some odd students that were in my class, yeah, not my single class, but my actual entire grade, small school, upstate New York. But, you know, with that being said, that was pretty much the entirety of the onboarding, I guess, was just getting to meet the teacher. But beyond that, my mom didn't have to go and find a school. She knew what school I was going to go to because my zip code. So talk to us about the difference in how this looks now with parents actually having to be privy to involving themselves in choosing their child's education.
And now a word from our sponsors.
EABLES. Ebels. Remember that name, because if you suffer from chronic joint and muscle pain like me, then Ebels Broad Spectrum CBD Oil is your answer to your prayers. Ebels is truly a game changer in the natural alternatives to big pharma drugs. And yours truly can indeed vouch for the quality of Ebels. Having a herniated disc in my back, coupled with years of sports injuries, I was struggling to find something, anything, to help manage my pain. That is, until Ebels. And right now, Ebels is offering a special discount to all members of the Brian Show audience on all orders. All you have to do is head to ebels.com and use promo code TBNS. That's it. Discount applied. Again, the code is TBNS at checkout to start managing your pain today with the highest quality CBD on the market. One more time, that is code TBNS at checkout.
Well, and you mentioned it in the opening that in 2020, parents got a good look at what their children were learning in the school system. And for a lot of them, they were not happy with it. They felt like it was a waste of their time or maybe was teaching values that they didn't begin with. And so now they began, you know, a lot of schools like California didn't even go back to in-person school for like 2 years. And so one of the things that they realized is like, I can do something different. And so a lot of them started homeschooling and they brought in they created maybe a homeschool pod or a pandemic pod. And they realize that this is an amazing way to teach my children. It takes less time and I get more time with them and I can build my relationships with their children rather than offloading that to the public system. And they were able to take that on themselves. And so what really we ended up seeing was that that's what they wanted. And that continued to be what they wanted when they started coming back to school. Here in Utah, we had a group of parents who started fighting mask mandates that were required as they came back from the pandemic. You know, something as simple as that got them to begin digging deeper into what's going on in the schools. And they started seeing educational things that they didn't like. And so they started looking for their things. And the market for public school or for school competition has grown tremendously over these past few years. And so it's really easy to find something that's completely different from what the public school is. For example, my kids go to a local micro school. I've got two of them that go there out of my five, and they go 3 days a week. But they're learning more, they're learning it faster, and they're being challenged in a way that they never were in the public system.
Oh, right. Hold on, John. We got to dig into that because I heard every single parent listening to the episode right now collectively gasp. What? 3 days a week? How dare you? You're not sending your kids to school all 5 days. Number one, how do you maintain your sanity, John? But number two, how are they not learning everything that they should be learning in the 5 days? What are they missing out on stuff? Or, no, you said they're not. How does that look? What does that look like?
Yeah, so they go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. They give them so much stuff to read. For example, my oldest daughter, I think she's read like 12 to 13 books already just this year. In the system. And so in this school. And so that's what it looks like. They go into this school, they're given a ton. And so they really count Wednesday as a school day so that because they give the kids so much to read. And so that's one thing that they do. And then Friday, they realize that family time is important to a lot of families, including my family. I love having my kids home. I know that the stereotype is to not want your kids around, but I love having my kids around. And a lot of parents are wanting their children home more. And so that's really what's going on is parents are wanting them home more. They're realizing school doesn't have to take, you know, 30 to 40 hours a week. And then on Fridays, you know, we live in Utah. Hey, that can be a ski day. Our family loves skiing. Let's go skiing. We got tons of snow this year. We can go skiing whenever we want to. And those are the types of things that can happen. And so, you know, on Wednesdays when my kids are home, we end up going and like doing our enrichment. So they cut out the enrichment at this micro school. They do, you know, some leadership training. They do math. They do language arts. They do history. And then we take on the enrichment at home. And so I have my daughters enrolled in piano lessons, art lessons, cooking lessons, the things that really interest them and their passions.
the stuff that interests them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time that I was not able to focus on the things that interested me in school, instead I was told, Brian, you need to learn trig. And I'm like, I have to prove that a triangle's a triangle. It's a triangle. I'm looking at, it's a triangle, guys. And they're like, well, you have to show it by math. And I'm like, nah, this is just not for me. And I'm going to tell you what, John, I have had zero times in my life since that time to ever prove that that triangle was a triangle by math. I looked at it and I said, it's got three sides and they're all connected. It's a triangle. So anyways, with that, everybody who's listening to me is like, Brian, God bless you. You're not good at math. And I know I'm not. And that's because I'm a product of a public education. So I guess that goes to the next question is, how are teachers changing the way that kids are learning these otherwise dense, boring, and I look at it as completely irrelevant subjects when we're going towards real life?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, especially with micro schools, is that this is great for teachers. They're coming out and they're able to build a classroom that they want to, and they're able to really be individualized in what they're doing. There's a micro school not too far from where I live. I don't send my kids there. It's outside of where I want to drive, but it's an Acton Academy. And this really focuses on the students taking charge of their learning. So yes, some kids are learning amazing math skills, but others are learning art and others are focusing on their writing ability. And the kids are able to really follow their passions in a lot of these models. And the teachers then get to be there and be this guide and walk them through. And the kids are actually really sad when they don't get to come to school because they're able to go and learn what they want to learn. The public school system really just maybe fits about 30% of the population. That's
well,
about it.
Yeah, well, and that speaks to this one size fits all approach that we've had and how broken it is. Like, I just can't imagine the people who are just so on board with this one size fits all approach. If you were to tell them, like, hey, going forward, you can only shop at Walmart. Only Walmart. I'm sorry. Based on your zip code, right? I'm sorry. If you moved over to the neighboring area, you might be able to go to the Target. But only to that Target. You can't go back to Walmart. And you just, you frame it that way and they're like, that's stupid. And you're like, yes, it is stupid. And that's why it's stupid that we've approached education in this really archaic way. So talk to us about when we're trying to get these new solutions in place. There's a lot of different things we can look at. You mentioned micro schools. Carrie McDonald mentioned micro schools, but that's something that I'm seeing a lot of folks maybe not paying attention to as a real viable alternative to this traditional one size fits all approach for education. So could you dig a little bit more into micro schools? And if there are teachers out there who want to get involved, maybe start their own micro school, what would that look like?
Yeah. So a micro school is a low cost private school. They range anywhere from 5 to 10 students. I've seen some up in 75, 100 students, but they are not large schools. And that is the beauty of them. That's how they can really individualize the education of the children that are going there, is because they stay small. It's back to that idea of a one room schoolhouse or the neighborhood school. And it truly is a neighborhood school because it can be right there. But they run into some problems. That is one thing that they get into, is some problems. So if you're a teacher and you want to start something, the one thing I will tell you is you will find that joy and passion of why you went into education to begin with. That is a thing that they will find. But these micro school owners are running into not education establishment, but cities and counties and zoning and occupancy laws that just make it really difficult. And so they're making them take, you know, these buildings that we would feel perfectly fine sending our children to and having to add like huge sprinkler systems, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or extra exits or multiple bathrooms or lots of parking that aren't really required. And so that's one of the problems you're going to find. But all of the teachers I've talked to, and honestly, most of the micro school founders are teachers. They love it. Even they're willing to work through those problems because they're really finding that their passion of teaching is coming back because they can then teach what the kids like. And we often demonize teachers. Some people demonize teachers as being against school choice. And most teachers aren't, because they realize that it's good for them. it's the unions that don't like school choice because they lose their power.
Yep. Our good buddy Corey DeAngelis, he was on the show recently. He was talking about that exact problem, is that it's not the teachers that see the problem. It's these unions. And actually, teachers, by and large, will actually see a positive switch when they go towards a different approach versus the one-size-fits-all solution we have right now. Namely, not just in the way they can teach, but also they're seeing across the board, better teachers are also rewarded for being better teachers. So,
absolutely.
Right? And that's gonna incentivize better teachers to enter into the field. And one thing I hear constantly is just there's not enough good teachers out there. Well, it's like, yeah, because they don't have an incentive to go into teaching because, number one, they know they're going to get maybe like, what, $35,000, $40,000 a year to start. They're going to have to go to the school for 5 years, maybe to get tenure. And then only after they're there for 30, 40 years will they be able to, you know, get that nice pension that they built up. But that you look back, that's not a really great way to you know, plan your career. And it's kind of like sad that that's your one size fits all approach to how your life's going to go versus like being able to teach what you enjoy. And you can change, you know, where you're teaching and what you're teaching. So I think this just makes sense, right? As a next step for teachers, you know, as we are seeing this decentralization, this democratization across the board, whether it's technology, education, whatever it may be, it's going to open more opportunities. So that does, though, also open up more concerns, more objections. So let's quickly, as we go towards the tail end of the episode here, address some of the detractors' concerns. And one concern I hear from a lot of folks is, well, Brian, there's some parents out there that aren't exactly, you know, the best of the best. And then they're putting that very nicely. But that's a fair argument, I'd say, that there are, in fact, parents who maybe they're not as invested in their kids' education, or they're completely removed from being involved in their kids' education. So in that situation where the parents aren't as concerned about what their kids are learning or not learning, what would this approach do to help that child?
Well, in across the nation, public schools still exist. A lot of those parents will keep their kids in the public system because it is convenient. They'll send a bus to pick up your child. A lot of them will offer food, both breakfast and lunch, to your child. And they're starting to offer things like mental health and physical health offerings there. And so a lot of those parents will choose that same thing. But what I would say is that, honestly, we're viewing that, I think, from the wrong lens. I don't think they understand. Education is so many things to so many people. I met a guy, he's running a charter school here in Utah. And it's basically a last chance type of a school where kids have, like, he's working to keep them in. And it's the system that's making it difficult for him to modify that education for those children that he's working with. And it, you know, they're ready to just go out and start earning a living. And if he could modify his school to be more, you know, career driven, he would, but he can't because of the barriers that are just inherent in this charter school system that we have and the public school system. But there are parents, and I would say that the numbers of parents that would apply to are really, really small. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get some really outrageous stories that come out of like Ohio recently, right? And, but those are the exception, and they really are the exception. And making rules based on the exception is never a good idea.
How often do we see that, though, happen where some, you know, some heartfelt political speech by your favorite politician here, you know, they're going to go through and tell you about Susie's sob story, who, oh my gosh, what a terrible, terrible example of this worst case scenario. Therefore, we need a law to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, huh. We really made some jumps from one point to the other, but yeah, that's exactly why it's important, right? For what you guys are doing, John, to have this conversation and also change the way that we're approaching these solutions and frankly these problems, right? Because these solutions only exist because there was a problem that we identified and someone out there at one point in time said, "Well, this seems like a good solution," but anybody in sales knows that the most dangerous words for any person, any political entity, organization, or company is what? But we've always done things that way. So I say this to you, John, as we go towards the last bit of our episode here for final thoughts as we wrap things up. I just reaffirm this is exactly why we have to have these conversations and frankly why it's so important for folks like you, the Libertas Institute, Kerry McDonnell, Fee, Corey DeAngelis. You go through the list of all these amazing organizations and people who are doing great things and changing the way that not just we're bringing different policy to the table, but how people are thinking about the policy. Because going back to what we've talked about here in the show before, culture is downstream from politics is downstream from culture, excuse me. So with politics being downstream from culture, if we aren't able to change the way people look at the problem and the solution, then when the political solution comes to the table, there's going to be a disconnect there. So it's important for us to play both of these sides at the same time, the political and the cultural conversation. That's my final thoughts for today. John, what do you have for us on your end?
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying is, you know, Adam Peshek with Stand Together Trust, he often says, like, plant 1,000 flowers and see which ones bloom. And that's just how the free market works. And education is no different. We need to allow the free market to exist in the public system and in the education system. And the way that we do that is through empowering parents to make decisions, get them to be consumers and decision makers in a child's education, rather than just the passive, rider along on this conveyor belt of the public education system. So that's what I would say to your audience is be involved. And honestly, the most powerful thing that any parent can do is walk away from the public education system. Again, I was a principal during the pandemic. 700 students left my district because the online offering was horrible. The Wow. district changed within 2 months of that happening. Fastest change I ever saw. And the power to walk away in any negotiation, whether it's sales or education, is such a powerful tool. If you're not happy with what your child is receiving, if you don't think that it's teaching them greatness, walk away. Find something different. It's out there. You can find low-cost options and make it work.
Or you can just go onto YouTube, download Khan Academy, and call it a day like I did back in Austin College. But, just kidding. No, don't do that, folks. That's like 2012, 2010, all that fun stuff. So, anyways, no, John, thank you for joining us here on the show. This is obviously a conversation that parents are having right now, and they will be having as we move forward here into the future years and beyond. And frankly, this is a conversation we're way past due. I'm so thankful. I mean, of all the things that we could look at the pandemic and say, darn you, pandemic, relationships, friendships all destroyed, millions of lives lost, businesses crushed. At least one positive thing that's growing out of this rubble is a nice rose of public school choice and people approaching public education in a different way. So thank you for that. With that being said, obviously we want folks to be able to continue the conversation with you. So where can folks go ahead, follow you, the Libertas Institute, and reach out should they want to continue going forward?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter. That's the best place to follow what I'm working on. At JEngland1226 is my Twitter handle. And you can always find what I'm writing about on libertas.org, libertas.org. And that's the best place to follow us. I'm extremely easy to find on social media, maybe unfortunately so, but I love it too much.
it's our cross to bear. Hey, if we want to change the conversations, then we have to meet the people where they're at, and where they are right now is online. So that's just the reality. Do folks think I like sitting there and recording these silly YouTube shorts all the time? Of course not. I'd much rather be doing other things like long form conversation, but more people like the short form content. So we got to give them what they want because we have to meet people where they are on the issues they care about, not the stuff that we think they should be caring about. That's a different conversation for a different day. And by the way, folks, if you want to go ahead and learn more about the sales and marketing approaches to liberty, please go back to briannicholsshow.com. We have over 700 different episodes. You can go through and search, digest, and it will all be actionable stuff you can take away and put into practice right now. So all those episodes, again, available at briannicholsshow.com. And by the way, if you guys got some value from today's episode, well, do me a favor. Go ahead and give it a share. And when you do, tag yours truly at B Nichols Liberty. That's Twitter, Facebook, pretty much anywhere you got some social medias, I'm there. Also, we're on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. Now, the YouTubes, they decided to remove one of those shorts I spent some time building because I gave COVID misinformation. misinformation. Aw, can you believe that? It wasn't really COVID misinformation. It was me actually presenting exact data that came from public health officials. But that's just how YouTube be. So I said, you know what? We're going to make sure we cover our butts. And we have Rumble. And we have Odyssey. So please, if you guys have not hit the subscribe button over there, go do so. Because God only knows if YouTube will keep us around when we keep on speaking the truth. But if you do join us on YouTube, just hit the subscribe button and little notification bell so you don't miss a single time we go live. Like we're going to have right here. Popping up an episode where I sat down with Connor Boyack. Yes, last time he was here on the show. So if you guys want to continue the episode with another great member from the Libertas Institute, stick around. We'll see you over there. But otherwise, with that being said, Brian Nichols signing off here on The Brian Nichols Show for John England. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at briannicholsshow.com.
Enjoying the audio version of the show? Then you'll love our YouTube channel. Be sure to head over there and subscribe. And if you're new to The Brian Nichols Show, be sure to head to your favorite podcast catcher and click download all unplayed episodes so you don't miss one of our nearly 500 episodes that will be sure to leave you educated, enlightened, and informed. If you got value from today's episode, can you do me a favor and head to briannicholsshow.com/support and leave us a $5 donation? And by the way, have you given the show a 5-star review yet? If not, head to Apple Podcasts and tell folks why you listen to the program and don't forget to tell your friends to subscribe too. Follow me on social media at @BNicholsLiberty. And again, if you'd be so kind, please consider making a donation to The Brian Nichols Show at briannicholsshow.com/support.